Hot Topics, unwrapping the issues at the centre of current debate. I'm Karen Dixon, speaking today with Nick Overton of the Australian Christian Lobby and Dr. Andrew Corbett of ICI Theological College Australia.
If someone has a terminal illness and is suffering from the chronic pain and the horrible pain that's associated with that, if we're a compassionate society, then shouldn't we allow them to choose when they die, to be able to die with dignity?
Well, Karen, as you know, we have the bill on the table at the moment from the Tasmanian Greens, the Dying with Dignity Bill. And certainly the purpose of that is to actually legislate and make it legal for people with a terminal illness to be able to choose when to end their own life. You know, I think we would need to understand here that voluntary euthanasia very quickly becomes involuntary euthanasia. I mean, in Holland, where it's been legalised for some years, even now the figures show, the research shows that up to 1,000 people a year are terminated without their consent. Mm. Now, that ought to cause us to stop and ask some questions. We also discover that back when we had this debate in the Northern Territory and then the federal government subsequently overturned that, there were 7 people associated with applying for euthanasia during that time. 2 out of 4 that actually, I think, whose lives were ended under that while that bill was legal or was law, did not actually have a terminal illness at all. In fact, they discovered that they were depressed and their lives were ended because one was lonely. And none of those 7 people, in fact, from memory, had a terminal illness. And we need to understand that for whatever reason, sometimes family members desire to end the life of a loved one more so than the loved one themselves. And I think the question to ask is, what is more compassionate? Caring for people through very painful times of suffering and illness, or ending their life?
That's pretty scary that people's lives were ended when there were no terminal illnesses involved. So now what we're talking about is who makes that final decision, and can we be sure that the person who's making that decision is actually the person who has a terminal illness? What I've seen in my own experience is that it's often family members who are really struggling towards the end of someone's life when their loved one is in desperate pain, and they're the ones having the most discomfort about the whole thing, and they're often the ones who are pushing the medical fraternities, can't we do something, doctor, that kind of thing. But how can we choose to end someone's life? We didn't create it. How can we do that?
Yeah, well, that's a good question, Karen, and I'm intrigued about your own experience as a nurse in this field as well. And I know when a family member, a very close family member to mine, was in palliative care and was suffering, incurable. There was nothing doctors could do apart from the best that medicine had to relieve the pain, and he was still in obvious pain. Yet this man was someone who had a quiet confidence in God and was able, I consider, to die with dignity. And we need to understand that life is sacred, and that's what we mean by the expression, the sanctity of life. It is special. We are not just a composition of chemicals. There is something very unique about our life. There is a spiritual dimension to our life that makes us unique. We need to understand that God appoints our lives. That includes, it says in the book of Hebrews, that 9:27, that he appoints when we die. There is an appointed that death comes unto everyone. It's an appointment. And from a Christian perspective, we need to have an understanding that just because someone's suffering doesn't mean there isn't dignity. In fact, sometimes dignity only comes out through suffering, and just because someone is in incurable pain with a terminal illness, and as I said, I've had a close family member in that exact situation, it doesn't mean that they're robbed of dignity. And I'm intrigued with your own experience, Karen, as a nurse, where you've seen that used almost as an excuse to terminate someone's life.
So if we're going to assist somebody, if anyone is going to assist somebody to die with dignity, it's actually more about how we behave and how we care for them rather than us choosing when it's time for them to go.
Yeah, I think this brings out the best and the worst of human emotion. And recently it was the director of palliative care in Hobart who made some comments about what he has observed in his own medical experience, how sometimes a deathbed can bring families together that have never been together for a long time. It can actually cause people to think about what life is really all about when someone is going through the process of a protracted death. And the we don't often place great value on those things, and as a society, I think that sends a particularly powerful, potent message about the value of life, not about death.
I think too, Andrew, we need to be careful that we don't associate the quality of life with the value of life. All human life is valuable, no matter its mental, physical or emotional state. And I think if we go down this path, we're going to start to change the perspective of our culture towards life itself.
Yeah, in one sense, some people could argue that euthanasia becomes eugenics, which is society choosing who lives or who dies. And that's a dangerous path to go down.
It's the value of someone's life that's important.
And that doesn't change. It doesn't change. It doesn't change if they're suffering or in good health. That person is still of value.
It's interesting to note, Karen, actually, that whenever a parliamentary inquiry has looked into the whole issue of voluntary euthanasia, no matter what the persuasion of the members that make up that committee were to start with, no parliamentary inquiry has come out and recommended voluntary euthanasia. And I think that should tell us something. I mean, it is not the first time we've had this debate. We had this debate in Tasmania back in 1998, and then it was recommended we just couldn't go down this path. And we have to ask ourselves the question, what has changed? Actually, what's changed is that we've got a whole lot better at palliative care. And we've made significant advances in palliative care, and therefore are able to journey with people towards their end.
Hot Topics, unwrapping the issues at the centre of current debate.